Prayer is a key ingredient to our spiritual growth and maturity. And over the course of this series, my prayer is for you is that you will get the most out of your prayer life and that you will grow deeper in love with God, who is an intimate God, and he is known as our Father, and that through that, that you will grow in more spiritual maturity. Today, I want us to look at how to pray throughout your day. Paul, first century Paul, said this. He was a follower of Jesus, and he said this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Now, what does this mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, I'm glad that you asked that very important question this morning. It simply means allowing God to direct you and to lead you in prayer. We do this by listening and being still before God. In those moments, God's Holy Spirit gives us thoughts or impressions, maybe the names of people or their faces, or maybe a particular situation or event that's happened. He'll pop those into your mind. And in those moments, we are to do as the old hymn says, take it to the Lord in prayer. So if an idea randomly pops into your mind, stop and pray about it. There's never a bad time to pray, and there's never an inappropriate time to pray. Any time is the right time to pray. And Paul's instruction for the followers of Jesus back then, as it is today, is allow the Holy Spirit to lead you on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Paul goes on then to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he says this, pray continually. Pray continually. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. Keep on swimming. Keep on swimming. No, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Don't let it stop. Don't let the conversation with God end. Let me ask you something. People, do you spend 2 minutes a day, just one time a day, talking to your spouse? If you do, you need marital counseling, and I will meet with you this week, all right? Your best friend, right? Your best friend. Do you message them on Messenger? Do you text them? Do you talk to them, right? You like to talk to them on a regular basis, right? It's not like just for a couple of minutes a day and say, ah, we're good. They try and message you. No, sorry, I've already said enough. Right? It doesn't work like that. It's an ongoing conversation. Something happens in your life, you want to tell somebody about it. Right? Something bad happens in your life, well, you want to share that problem with somebody else. And sometimes it's just good to get that out, all that negative energy. Well, prayer, when you really break it down, is a conversation. And it's a conversation with God, a holy God, a magnificent God, a majestic God. And so Paul is saying, don't let that conversation end. Don't let it end. Sometimes we can overcomplicate these conversations that we have with God by believing that we have to pray a very specific way and in a very particular way, almost as if the prayer comes out of a book, right? Which can seem very impersonal or even awkward. The more we pray to God, the more natural our conversations will feel with them. Listen. Some of us that you know, we were interested in a significant other at one point, and we struggled to get those words out the first time. Would you go out with me? Right? And then you would go out and you would sit in silence, scared to talk. Well, at first it can kind of feel awkward with God, right? But as you got to know that person, right, you get to share your dreams and likes and dislikes. It's just the conversation just flows, right? It just flows. And that's what it is with God, is that when we have those conversations on a regular basis, they just seem to flow. Maybe awkward at first, but they seem to flow. But when we start golfing this summer, right, when we take that first swing of the season, it feels awkward, doesn't it? You kind of feel out and you kind of like, it's crazy. But I'll tell you, when you start doing it more and more and more in the summertime, like we would do it all year round if we could, but there's this little thing called winter, right? But as we get doing it more and more and more, it becomes routine. Our body, it's muscle memory. And that's the way it should be with God, is ongoing throughout the day. And when something good happens in your day, tell him about it. And give thanks. If something bad happens during your day, tell him about it. He can handle your complaints. If you need something or someone else around you needs something, pray about it and ask God. Sometimes the quick prayers in the parking lot, in the grocery stores, at the gas pumps, or on the sidewalks, or even at the end of our driveways can be the most meaningful. As good as it is to be spontaneous in prayer throughout the day, it's also important to schedule times for prayer. After all, the most important conversations we should be having are with God, right? The creator of the universe and the creator of everything within it. But when we need to have an important conversation with somebody, another human being, we reserve time for that conversation. Like, for instance, if you go to get a bank loan, it's an important conversation. You make an appointment. If you meet with a doctor for an important conversation regarding your health, you make an appointment. If you were to meet with a counselor or a psychologist, an important conversation regarding your mental health, you make an appointment. If it's a legal matter and you want to talk to a lawyer, you make an appointment. If you want to have an important conversation with your spouse or your child or a pastor or a friend, you reserve time for that conversation. Likewise with God, we should be reserving quality time with him. Now, Rick Warren from Saddleback Community Church gives a very practical way on how to pray throughout the day, and he uses a very simple model. He actually uses something right from the Bible and actually something that Jesus taught us. He uses the Lord's Prayer. But let me just say this. The Lord's Prayer was never a prayer that was just meant to be recited. Now, it's important to recite and remember the elements to the prayer, but that wasn't just it. When Jesus said, Jesus didn't say, this is what you should pray. He said, this is how you should pray. And I'll go into further depth on that in a moment. You see, the Lord's Prayer, right, is a model of how we're to live our lives from the moment we wake up to the moment we rest our head on our pillows at night. So let's just dive right on into this. Now, how to pray throughout the day. Number one, wake up with gratitude. Now, as soon as you open your eyes in the morning, before you even crawl out of bed, start with the attitude of gratitude. Tell God all about the things you're grateful for. Now, I gotta admit, last couple of days, it's been hard to wake up, right? Yesterday, we went to the Advanced Leadership Conference in Winnipeg, and we took a whole van load of people. I had to wake up at 5:30 in the morning. Now, if you know me, I'm not awake during then, and I don't think any other human being should be awake at that time of the morning. Some of you guys are awake earlier, and I'm praying for you, and I'm interceding for you that you'll know the art of sleeping in. But I got to tell you, I woke up at that time, and gratefulness was not on my mind. Waking up this morning, coming to the early morning service, because I was late last night making preparations for the morning service. Waking up early this morning, I would have much rather skipped the first service, come right for this service instead, right? I woke up at 6 in the morning, but I practiced this these last couple of mornings, especially because I knew that they were going to be a heavy morning. I started off with the attitude of gratitude, and I tell you, it really does help. It really does. And I'm excited to see what this week is going to be like practicing this, the attitude of gratitude. When my eyes wake up, start thanking God for stuff. Well, you might be thinking that, you know, how can I be thankful at that time in the morning? But let me just tell you something here. Sometimes our minds are already made up of what kind of day we're going to have even before our feet hit the floor. Right? It beginning your day with the attitude of gratitude could be a game changer, could be a total game changer for you. If you're not a morning person, this could be a game changer for you. See, doctors have discovered that the single healthiest emotion known to humanity is gratitude. That the attitude of gratitude actually helps you and makes you healthier mentally, emotionally, physically, and I'll just inject another important element here, spiritually. Getting up with gratitude is actually good for your health. If you struggle with remembering things that you're grateful for, like when you're waking up at that early time of the morning and you hardly got any sleep, you know, maybe it would be best that you prepared maybe the day before. Maybe you're starting to prepare a gratitude list, right? Put a gratitude list and put it beside your bedside so that when you open your eyes, you can at least grab the list and be reminded of what you should be thankful for. Rick Warren even suggests that you could even go with the alphabet from A to Z, like things, for instance, like a D. God, you designed me. Thank you for designing me for your great plan. Or E, thank you for empowering me with your spirit. Or F, thank you for forgiving all of my sins. Now, I've heard it said that the attitude you have for the day is set within the first 8 minutes of your day. The first 8 minutes, your attitude for the day is set within the first 8 minutes. Isn't that amazing? I can totally see how that's true and how that applies even in my own life. An attitude of gratitude when waking up in the morning can go a long way. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. The Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to teach this from the King James Version, and I'll explain later why I'm using this particular version, as I usually use the NIV when I preach, but I there's a purpose of this, and I'll explain it later. But it says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Our Father, which art in heaven," right? This is the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Our God is a good, good Father. He's a Father. And he's not just any father. Whose is he? He's our Father. He's caring. He's close. He's consistent. He's competent. Our God is a good, good Father, and he's our Father. James chapter 1, verse 17 says this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." So don't start your day with confession or requests, right? Because that might just kind of be a little bit of a downer. Start it with gratitude. Thank him for all the blessings in your life, especially the ones you normally take for granted, right? Things like, thank you, God, for the roof over my head. Thank you, God, for the warm bed where I rest my head. And thank you, God, for heat and running water. I shared this in the first service that when I first started out in ministry, I was interning at a church that was formerly known as Evangel Chapel, now has switched names to New Beginnings. And when I was interning there, the shower, I lived in the church. I was the church mouse. Big, I guess I'd be a rat because I'm kind of big. But anyways, they had the shower in the boiler room. And sometimes the boiler wasn't always working and you would go in there and it was cold. And you'd hope for a hot shower, and it wasn't hot. So this morning, as I'm under the shower, under the hot water of the shower this morning, I was like, thank you, God, that it wasn't back then. Oh, how we've come a long way in ministry since then. So hot water, thank you, God, for hot water. Those little small things, those insignificant things that we just take for granted, thank God for them. Thank God for them. But thank God also that he loves us, right? Thank him for his love. He's so great and we're so small and insignificant, but he still calls us son and daughter and enables us to call him Father. Thank him for that. Number two, bless God's name at breakfast. Why limit your prayer at breakfast only asking for a blessing on your food? Why not take time to bless God's holy name? To bless means to honor, to give respect, to praise. The theological word here is adoration. We adore God. We bless him. We honor him and we praise him. That's the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer in the latter half of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy. Holy is your name. I'm going to respect his name. I'm going to honor his name. I'm going to give his name praise, the praise that it's worthy of. I'm going to adore his name, for his name is holy. I'm not just going to ask for a blessing over my food. I'm going to ask that I'm going to praise and bless his holy name. I'm going to praise and bless his holy name. Psalm 145, verse 2 says this, "Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever. Every day I will bless you. Why is God's name such a big deal? If you were to read through the book of Psalms, it would be mentioned about 80 times. Bless the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give thanks to the name of the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord. What is the big deal about God's name? Well, there's power in that name. And there's power in his name. And not only that, these different names reveal God's attributes and character. These names reveal things about God that maybe we didn't know. And they reinforce that. A couple of weeks ago, I shared a brief list of those names of God. And you can listen to those messages online or on our website or on Apple iTunes or on Spotify. The message title was Praying in Five Dimensions. But get this. In the Bible, God has about 100 names in Hebrew and Greek. 100 names. Now, why does anybody need 100 names, right? Because each name is like a title that represents the character quality of God. So take time at breakfast to bless God's holy name. Number three, during coffee break, remember what matters most. At mid-morning, press pause and take a deep breath. And then contemplate this next phrase from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Ask this question, what matters most? What matters to me most? Am I more preoccupied with building my own personal kingdom and worrying of how I'm going to try and figure out how to accomplish this, like where I will acquire all my resources in order to make it possible, stressing and worrying if it'll ever happen? Or are we more concerned with building God's kingdom? Are we more concerned about his will being done, not my will? I believe that this part of the prayer is where we can realign our priorities. It is here that we can make this declaration. God, I align my life with your plans and purpose. I align my life with your plans and purpose. What does that mean? It means we remind ourselves that we've been called to a greater purpose than to just live for ourselves. That we are called to be a part of a plan that will far extend beyond our years spent on this planet. God has a universal purpose for the whole world. History is moving towards a climax. History is really his story, God's story. Now, life is not circular like the Lion King preaches. Life is linear. Life is linear. There was a beginning and there is going to be an ending. Jesus is coming back again one day. God has a plan for the whole world, but more important than that, he's got a plan and a purpose for each of us individually. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Maybe you're thinking, I don't have enough time. Put God's agenda first. But I don't have enough money. Put God's agenda first. I don't have enough energy. Put God's agenda first. I don't know what to do with this major decision that I've got to make. Put God's agenda first. I don't know how I'm going to finish this assignment at school. Put God's agenda first. Put it first. Thy kingdom come, your will be done. Number four, list my needs at lunch. Lunchtime is a good time to talk to God about the things that you need in life. And this is where that fourth phrase of the Lord's Prayer kicks in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 6. Give us this day our daily bread. What is bread? Well, you young people, back in the day, we used to call moolah bread. You got some bread on you? Right? Now, I don't know what you guys call it. You got some coin or No, that was more like late 90s, early 2000s, I think. The cheddar. No, it was called bread, man. You got some bread on you? But bread represents everything we need. Bread represents everything you need. It can represent money. It can represent resources. It can represent contracts. It can represent contacts. It can represent a husband or a girlfriend or a wife. It can represent anything you need. It's the stuff that actually fulfills you. It's the stuff that sustains you. Bread is not just talking about bread. It's talking about anything you need in your life. We don't pray, give us this day our weekly bread. Nor do we pray, give us this day our monthly bread. And we certainly don't pray, give us this day our yearly bread. No, we pray we are to pray every day, give us this day our daily bread. God is not like Costco where you go and stock up on things. No, God is like the market where you go and get fresh produce every day. Every day you go to the market to get the fresh produce. And he's not interested in giving you what you need next year, because then you wouldn't trust him. Then you wouldn't have any faith in him, and you wouldn't have to depend on him. When God fed his children of Israel, after they were coming out of captivity in Egypt and on their way to the promised land, he gave them fresh manna each morning. Bread from heaven, he gave them each morning. And guess what? It only lasted one day. They couldn't store it up because it would rot. And it was literally daily bread that they had to depend on God for. Now, there was one exception. They were on the sixth day allowed to stockpile it for the next day, the Sabbath day, because they weren't allowed to work. It was a day of rest. But all from Monday to Saturday, right, or Monday to Friday, they weren't allowed to stockpile the bread. And some of them tried, and it got all rotten and maggots and all that kind of fun stuff. But listen, here are a couple of things that we can do when asking God for our daily bread. Well, obviously, the first one, ask for things that we need. This is not a time to be prideful or embarrassed asking God for things. If you've got needs in your life, present them before God. The fancy word here is supplication, earnestly and humbly asking God to supply your needs. James chapter 4, verse 2, and I love how James just says this. He says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Plain and simple. You do not have because you do not ask God. Now, you might be thinking, well, hey, God's supposed to know everything, so he knows my need. Why don't he just supply it? Listen, most of us as parents know the needs of our children, but we still like to be asked. There's just something about that, about them humbly coming to us, right, and asking. And it's not that God is a control freak. He loves to supply for his children. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever you need, ask God for it. Well, the next one is, ask for what others need. Don't just limit it to what your needs are. Ask for what others need. Have you got a friend who needs something? You got a family member who needs something? Why don't you ask God for it at lunch today? Why, when you pray for somebody else, when you ask on somebody else's behalf, we call that intercession. And that's the technical term for it. When you pray for yourself, it's called a petition. But when you pray for somebody else, it's called intercession. You're interceding on their behalf. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, by his, and then he's talking about Jesus, divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We receive all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. If you'll do this fourth kind of praying at lunch, your afternoon is going to be a whole lot easier and better. You'll experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because you stopped in the middle of your day and prayed, no longer carrying the heavy weight of your needs or the needs of others, right? You've stopped and given it to God. And it doesn't have to be long, and it can be a simple line or two. If you list all your needs at lunch, you're going to go back to work or your class, right? Or whatever your afternoon activities are, much more peacefully. Don't just feed your body at lunchtime, feed your soul as well. Number 5, ask for forgiveness in the afternoon. Find some place in the mid-afternoon where you can you can be alone or talk to God. Maybe you can retreat to your office or simply close the door. Maybe you've got a room in your home that you can just retreat to. Maybe you want to take a drive, so go to your car for some uninterrupted time. But if you're really struggling for a place to go where you'll be uninterrupted, now this might not apply for moms, because I suggest the bathroom. All right? I suggest the bathroom if you want uninterrupted time. The reason why I say it doesn't work for moms, because moms usually get in there and about like 2 seconds later, a child needs something. But for the rest of us in the world, it works. All right? It works. So go somewhere where you can be alone with God. And it doesn't have to be a long time. And a good scripture to keep in mind while going through this process is Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. It's like asking God, is there something that I need to confess to you, that I need to admit? Is there something that's hindering my relationship? Is there a blocker there that needs to come out of the way? Right? Is there some garbage or some heavy luggage that I'm carrying around that I don't necessarily need to? See, it doesn't have to take a long time. It's like taking out the trash, the garbage. Taking out garbage doesn't take a long time. Right, boys? My boys, Levi and Micah, know what that's their chores at home, is taking out the garbage. Doesn't take a long time, does it? Right? Doesn't take a long time, but what does it do when you take out the garbage? It keeps your house from stinking. So taking out the garbage keeps your house from stinking. If you don't take out the garbage in your soul every day, your soul is going to start stinking. Don't let it stockpile in your life. And when we don't empty the trash of our soul, guilt, condemnation, and shame begin to fester. And this is where the fifth statement of the Lord's Prayer kicks in. In verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, right? You guys sing that at kids' church, right? Yeah, that's right, you do. And in confession, not only do we own up to our wrongdoings and admit our sins, we lay them at his feet. And we ask not only for him to forgive us, but he asks us to take it a step further, to forgive those who've also wronged us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Listen to what the scripture says in Matthew 6:14. It says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's good news, right? Boys and girls, right? That's good news. Boys and girls at Kingdom Kids, it's good news. But listen, there's a but in scripture. And when there's a but in scripture, it's like, oh, we got to tune up our ears. So listen to this. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father, our God, will not forgive you your sins. Will not forgive your sins. Wow, that's pretty crazy, eh? Ouch. It's important to keep short accounts of sin or on sin. Don't let it fester. Don't let the devil get a foothold in your life because of unforgiveness. Acknowledge it, confess it, and be free of it. Number six, ask God to help make wise decisions. This stage of praying happens when you're done work or done school and you're headed home. Did you know that studies have shown that 90% of all arguments in the world happen 1 hour before dinner? There, you've nailed it, friend. Three words for you: low blood sugar. Low blood sugar. What's the answer? Eat a candy bar. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It might help with the low blood sugar, but it will ruin your dinner. It'll ruin your dinner. Now, I need you, there's a mistake on your sermon notes here. It says that it's important to not to. Now, I want you to scratch out not to and just keep one of those twos. It's important to unload the stresses of our day to God, not on our families. Taking time to acknowledge the pressures of the day and then unloading them before we open the doors to our homes is important. Rick Warren purchased an old milk can from an antique store, and we have one that sits outside our house, so I can't wait to use that as a way of unloading the problems of my day. See, he painted it blue and stuck it outside his front door, and he calls it his worry and problem can. every day when he had come home, he'd walk up to the can and say, Lord, you know about the problems that aren't solved yet that I'm still carrying. And I'm taking them, and I don't want to take them inside, so I'm going to dump them right here in this can, and tomorrow morning when I walk out, they'll still be there. But I refuse to unload them on my wife, and I refuse to unload them on my kids. So there we are. I'm leaving them right here. Isn't that powerful? The next phrase of the Lord's Prayer comes, says this in 6:13 of Matthew, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Temptation can hit us the hardest in the evening because we're tired and worn out from our day. And we can be tempted by getting into arguments or maybe saying some damaging things to each other. Sometimes the ones we hurt most are the ones we love the most. Right? Isn't that crazy? And sometimes, just to escape the pressures of life, we fill our souls with garbage, maybe the stuff that's on television or maybe on the internet or the unnecessary evils that await us in the refrigerator. I admit, I'm an emotional eater. When I'm stressed, I reach for snacks. But here's an amazing promise in Scripture that gives us hope in the midst of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, notice it's about temptation here, not about the situations in life. Situations in life will break you. Circumstances in life will break you. But temptation, listen, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You think you're special when it comes to temptation? Just a humble reminder, you're not. Temptation comes knocking at all of our doors, and if we're to be perfectly honest in this room, I'm guessing many of us battle many of the same temptations. The good news is this. If there are common temptations, then there are also common solutions. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. And when you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give into it. He doesn't take it away. He gives us the strength we need to walk out from underneath it. And the last one here, number 7, end the day with an encouraging truth. End the day with an encouraging truth. This becomes the benediction of our day. And this is why I chose this version of the Bible. I don't know why the newer versions of translations of the Bible leave this particular piece out, but I love it that the King James has left it. And this is what it says in verse 13. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What a powerful declaration. This is the declaration that God is in control of it all. Corrie ten Boom said this, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. It all depends on who you're looking at. See, the Lord's Prayer is not just a ritual that people pray. It's a pattern for living. It's a model for how to manage your day. If you want to do as Paul instructed, pray continually, then this is a practical way of doing it. Praying continually in the Spirit will give you more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, I did practice saying that all in one breath. Most of all, you'll develop a deeper and more intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father, who is so, so good. Amen? Amen.